last left our intrepid heroes, you guys had just finished...
Whoa, this is enough of the hero talk here. Come on. We left an entire town to die.
You know what, though? To be fair, it was the most logical thing to do. In character, you had no idea what was down there.
And I'm a coward. But yes.
There was no clear reward and a lot of risk.
Yes.
You guys had returned to your ship and immediately weighed anchor and got the hell out of there.
Yeah.
Didn't want to take the risk that hanging around was going to have some negative effect on you, I guess. You guys set sail again. John, roll me a d20 plus 2. Ship handling.
10.
Okay. So, the crew, between your handling of the ship and the evening's handling of the ship, you guys slow down at night, go down to a skeleton crew. And don't make as much headway in the evenings, but a few days later, at dawn, you can see in the distance the port city of Mirdeath, where you are to deliver your cargo.
Woohoo!
As you bring yourselves up into the port, the city itself seems to be made out of like clay bricks that have been baked and then set in place, but the bricks are 3 feet long, 2 feet thick. Like, these are huge clay slabs.
Impressive.
Also probably very inefficient.
Unless they had giants building.
Also possible. As the boat is brought into harbor, you tie the boat off and immediately get the crew to start unloading your said cargo. The dock is bustling with people going all different ways to dozens of different vessels that are tied up at dock or at different docks along the edge of the city. From here, you have a couple clear options for whatever interesting shenanigans you happen to come up with. You can stay on your ship and sail the hell out of here immediately and go, I mean, anywhere on the map, really. Or you could wander into town, give the crew some shore leave.
That might not be a bad idea. Like, we haven't recovered any treasure to share with the crew yet, so we might want to be a little bit generous with shore leave. Just be like, go have fun. It's not just all work and no reward.
I'm kind of leaning towards we should give them a paid shore leave. Maybe even a little bonus just to maybe provide a little bit more incentive to be loyal.
Hey, that's not a bad plan.
It'll cost us now, but I think it'll pay back later on.
That's not a bad idea, and paying them need to be just to stick around. You know, you give them 24 hours notice before you're leaving or something. Hopefully you'll be able to give them notice.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Barring unforeseen disasters.
I like the plural there.
Yeah, well, knowing us, it would be plural.
So once the cargo is unloaded, a watch is set where two people will be on the ship at all times, but otherwise the crew is on shore leave.
the city itself, it's considerably smaller than the city you just left, and does not have that same magical hub. The clay bricks make up the streets that you go down. And despite most of the city being made out of redstone, it is, like, it's a well-built city. It's just, could use a little more color, maybe? Drab and dreary. As you make your way into town, you see a, what looks like a patio with a bunch of people outside of this building, all drinking and eating food. Some sort of a party going on. As you approach the building, you recognize that it is a alehouse.
Ooh, I'm a bit thirsty. Anyone want to go for a drink?
Sure, let's go.
I'm always down for a drink.
Yeah?
As you make your way into through the patio, it appears that there's a drunken birthday party going on outside at this this area on the outside of the building. But as you open the door into the redstone building, the interior is decorated with what looks like it was probably ornate wood once upon a time, ornately carved and beautifully polished. But it also looks very old and not as well taken care of as it perhaps could have been over the years. The tables that you see lining the left side of the room are filled with all sorts of folk. A lot of dwarves and elves. Humans actually make up a smaller percentage of the people in this establishment.
That's cool. As you
take a seat at one of the tables, one of the serving boys comes up. What can I get for the four of ye? We got mutton on in the back, as well as a roasted. He sits there, slaps himself on the side of the head. A roasted salmon.
Oh, I would love some salmon. Salmon for me, please.
Salmon sounds good.
Yeah man. Bring me a salmon too.
And would you like, he looks at the table, perhaps a pitcher of ale or wine?
I'm going to take a quick look around.
I'll take one of those for myself there.
Yeah, I'm going to take a quick look around the room. What is the general vibe of the room? Is it more high class or low class?
It's an upper middle class establishment. It's seen a lot of love. You can tell just by the floors, the scuffing. You can see that there's boards that have been repaired. This place has been in constant use for a really long time.
Yeah, I'm more talking about the general vibe of the people. How do they sort of feel?
Like, will there be bar brawls?
Kind of, yeah.
This does not strike you as a bar brawly kind of place. If a fight were to break out, it's more likely to be a duel.
Then I will ask for a bottle of wine. You drink to your surroundings.
Red or white? Unfortunately, all we've got right left is the Merlot.
The Merlot is fine. Oh, sorry. Merlot is fine.
Anybody else? Or just water?
I'll have an ale. Beer, whatever you consider your best.
Ale.
Alright, he writes all this down and he heads off towards the kitchen. A few minutes later he comes back with all of your drinks, setting them down, opening the bottle of wine for you and pouring the first glass before setting it down on the table.
Hmm.
So, what brings you into town here? I don't recognize you lot.
We're merchants.
Business.
Well, it's always a pleasure to have new faces here at the Rugged Gopher.
Clever name. Where did it come from?
Well, rumor has it the owner Ernie. He's got a glass eye. Don't stare at it though.
Okay. But
they say when he first bought this place, he built a house on it. But this damn gopher dug underneath it and collapsed his house. So he built another one. And the damn gopher dug underneath it and it fell over and sank because it dug into the water well.
Oh dear.
So Ernie got out a shovel and he dug up that little bastard. And he tried to choke it to death with his bare hands. And it got out of his hands and bit out his eye.
Oh my.
Whoa.
And then he smashed it with a rock.
As you do.
As one does.
And ever since, the foundation has been the most solid ever. Probably due to the first two stone houses it sits on.
It might help.
Across the room, you suddenly hear strangers as this old lady who's kind of got like a bow in her knees as she walks with this longer bob cut of this shaggy gray mane kind of waving back and forth as she comes over walking with her walking stick, her green cloak hanging down, as three of you recognize this as the elderly woman that you saved from bandits several weeks ago.
Oh! Nissa hops up excitedly and flutters around the old lady. Hi, hi, how are you? How did you get all the way out here?
I live out here. I was just down in the south on some business.
Well, we were down in the south on business and now we're out here on business. How funny!
How funny the world is. You and your compatriots are here. I never got a chance to truly thank you for saving me. Could I offer you lunch? Either today or perhaps tomorrow. Why don't you come out to my hut just outside of town? You can meet all my nieces and nephews.
Oh, that sounds lovely. We did order here for today, but perhaps tomorrow.
Tomorrow is fantastic. I'll make sure to put together something really nice to thank all of you.
Oh, you don't need to put yourself out.
Oh, no, it's an excuse to... She leans in. I have 13 nieces and nephews that live with me.
Wow.
Trust me, a big meal is happening one way or another.
That's a lot of family.
He smiles and says, "We are an eclectic family."
That works.
Why they call me Auntie Willow?
My cat just took down a curtain.
Nice.
Oh.
As the bar cat suddenly leaps across the room, taking down the curtains. The bartender screams, "Oh, you damn beast, get back here, man!"
For the record, he's little and orange and completely a devil.
But he's probably cute as all hell.
Oh, yes, he is. He chases his tail like a dog. Sorry.
All good.
Derailed that when stuff went flying down off the wall.
That's okay.
Oh, we'll so we're mid-afternoon right now, right?
Yeah, you're mid-afternoon eating a... When food is brought out to you, it is indeed delicious, and it's a huge chunk of salmon that obviously came from a large ocean salmon. With some potatoes and some salad. It's pretty good.
Nice. So I'm more interested in the room now. I'm going to be scoping out a spot where I might be able to perform in the evening. I'm also scoping out ways that I might meander around the room and pick a few pockets while I'm at it.
There is a dance floor on the one side of the area, a small stage.
Dancing is a great way to pick pockets.
At the moment, they don't have a live performer. They do have some sort of song playing on. It's almost, you've noticed over lunch, it's the same song played on a loop. So, you know, some people are dancing and having a good time, but nothing beats live entertainment.
Of course. I'm going to have to talk to the somebody in maybe not in charge, but somebody who kind of runs the place about that.
Roll me a sleight of hand.
Well, I'm not going to thieve anything right now. That's I'm just scoping the place out. So.
Mm. Oh yeah, if you had a good show going, there'd probably be 20 or 30 people out on the floor.
That's the plan. So, do I need to persuade them at all or anything like that? This will be after the meal. I'm going to eat first.
Oh yeah. You know, yeah, sure, roll me persuasion.
Okay. 14.
The bar manager is ecstatic to have a live performance tonight.
Excellent.
He didn't have anybody booked, so, you know, he's got everything lined up for the next couple days, but tonight he didn't have anything, so... He says, you know, you can start, you know, the supper rush will wind down, and then the bar rush will pick up in about half an hour or so. You get yourself ready, and then the stage is yours for the night.
Excellent. Excellent. So I'm going to sit back down with the group after I've discussed with him and be like, any of y'all good at dancing or singing?
I can dance. I'm a very good dancer.
That's an inside check. I want to know if she's lying. I don't know if you're lying. I'm not even sure if I can roll an inside of my party member.
I mean, my...
I don't know. Do you think she's lying?
I don't know. I've never seen her dance. I mean, she's tiny and she can flutter about. It'd be an interesting show nonetheless. Yeah, I can actually use a spell... How long does it last for?
Nyssa takes a moment, looks around, she goes, although this doesn't look like the place where I take all off my clothes. So
that is
we'll leave them on. For now. Unless the crowd gets rowdy, then they come off and the fairy fire goes on because people love that.
Yes. So what I'm going to do, if I can manage to make this happen. So if you're willing to dance, any of you gentlemen dance or sing or play an instrument or anything like that?
I play the bong.
Bong. Okay, that's cool, but it's not going to help. It's fine. I can deal with only one dance.
How big is this stage?
How big is the stage? It's probably a 10 by 15... rectangle. It's raised up about 2 feet from the dance floor.
Yeah, I'm just way too big for that stage.
Alright, so Caleb, what I want to do is, and I'm going to discuss this, is I want to cast a spell on Nyssa while she's dancing called Silent Image, because I can copy a creature. So I want to make her bigger to copy her movements while she's dancing. I'm not sure if Silent Image can do that.
In that case, I would also like to cast mirror image on myself. Can I cast mirror image on myself and then you can make a silent image and then there'll be so many of us?
Do you know what we could do? Now we're working out tactics here for our show.
Yeah.
So you do mirror image, so you'll have multiples of you, and then cancel the spell at some point, and then I'll cast silent image and make a... How tall is this ceiling, Caleb?
It's like an 11-foot ceiling.
And then I'll make a 10-foot tall version of you.
Nice.
That copies your movements. So when they... So it'll look like they come slamming back into you, and then you just get bigger. But there'll be two of you there. A smaller version of you, and then the bigger one that everyone's probably going to be watching.
That's going to be cool.
Yeah. So that'll set them for a little bit of a loop for a while.
Yeah.
I also have tiny little bird pipes that I can play at the same time.
Oh, that'd be perfect. In that case, I'll use the lute, not the flute, because that'll pair well with your pipes.
I'd like you, Jessica, knowledge or insight or intelligence. That one.
Just a straight up in check.
That 20. One. Ooh.
Rolled a 19.
You do remember, if you are indeed desperate for performers, that your cook does play the bagpipes.
Uh-huh. I recall.
Okay. Just making sure you remembered that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I remember. Yeah, he's staying as far away from this as he possibly can. Or rather, his bagpipes are staying. I don't know if this is... I don't think this is the right kind of atmosphere for that. At least not right now, anyway. We'll see when everyone's got a few in them. But right now, I'm going to say, nay, nay.
Okay. Well, these two are plotting out a show. What are the other two of you doing?
I guess I'm going to sit back and watch the show and observe. Maybe I can be, like, the scout. And if I see anyone, like... rich or have something that I think something signal, I'll do the old
want to look into any local legends.
Oh, he's actually doing the job. We're trying to get rich quick and he's actually doing the job.
I like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, on that note, as well as treasure and stuff, we're looking for pickpocketing. Maybe we can look for maps or important documents or something that would give us a lead in that direction.
I'm but in this all... for loot, and I don't care how I get it. So
I'm gonna be keeping my eye out for everything, including leads.
All right, so if I understand the plan for the evening correctly...
Mm-hmm.
Jess is going to open with a performance, then Nis is taking the stage, casting to create duplicates. When the duplicates wear off, create the big one. While that's going on, you're running through the crowd, grabbing what you can. Yeah.
Yeah. I won't pickpocket anybody that looks like they're really struggling. I won't do that, but the richer people, which seem to be these haunty elves, I have no issues with robbing them blind.
And I'm going to grant you a bonus, because one of the things that depending on how well your scout does... Keichu, while they're doing that, what exactly are you looking to do?
I want to look for that old guy who's talking about random thing. There's always at least one old guy talking about that one random thing.
Okay, you're not looking for a specific random thing. Perfect. Alright, so yes, I would like a performance check out of you as you take to the stage first.
Hey. Ooh, only a 10. We'll start them off slow. We don't want to start on all cylinders.
That's fair.
I think I'll start with a a flute song, actually. I'm going to use the flute for the first one. And just about something nice and slow, something, you know, something good for eating with.
And something that when the if someone walks by will hear the performance or hear that there's something going on.
Yeah. We won't get into the rowdy stuff until a couple of drinks in.
Perfect. So you're putting on quite the performance up there.
And if Nissa wants to join up on the stage, I'm more than happy to have a second person up there.
Yep, she'll go up.
Although I'll mention this time it's not dancing, it's just playing.
Yes. The dancing. Yeah, we'll play first.
Yeah. We gotta woo the audience first. This is her element. This is what she does. She has lots of persuasion and lots of performance. So.
That's great. Nissa just likes a party.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'd like a performance check out of both of you.
Another one from me? Or are you just going to keep the 10? Another one? Okay.
One.
15.
Well, that's better. Ditto.
Ooh.
The bar starts, the tavern starts filling up with people. The tables and getting more tightly packed to the point where it's almost standing room only. Nilrim, I would like a perception check from you.
Okay. Ooh, I rolled good that time. Plus what? Sorry, 17.
17. You assess the crowd rather quickly, looking for people with the most glittery things on their bodies. And you do indeed pick out a couple of people who look like they've got more money than they absolutely need.
I do the secret super special that no one knows signal.
Dude, can I even hear that over the noise?
You can't hear it.
I guess I'm watching him.
Oh, yeah. You're communicating while you're up on stage. He's, you know, nodding his head. He's putting himself beside somebody, nodding his head twice and then continuing on. You're kind of taking note of the people while up on stage. Okay. K2, as you are meandering through the bar, I'd also like you to roll me perception.
That'll be a 17.
17. You guys are rolling good tonight.
So far.
So far.
Just 1 second.
So, you, as you're moving through the bar, you can't help but overhear this one older gentleman.
I just don't believe you.
The dwarf says to the elf,
"No, you must believe me. My farmer says that his farm was uprooted by tiny ogres.
Tiny ogres don't exist. You're making your farmers crazy."
I'm going to lean into that conversation a little bit and go, "Tiny ogres?"
They both kind of start and look at you. The dwarf looks up at you and goes,
"My friend here thinks, has said that his, one of his farmers on his land said that his farm was attacked by tiny ogres."
Like, not trolls, but actual tiny ogres?
The description he gave matched that of ogres, but he said that they were 3 to 4 feet tall.
Interesting.
I know very little more, unfortunately. It cost me a pretty penny in whatever it was that destroyed those fields.
So if I was to handle something like that, would you pay a pretty penny to me?
He laughs. You wish to go chase down the urban, the myth of the tiny trolls. But I suppose if you could get to the bottom of it and ensure that it didn't happen again, that would save me money in the long run, which would make it worth money.
That's what I'm saying.
I believe, yes, we could definitely come to an agreement if you could figure out what is happening. He pulls out a piece of parchment and a piece of charcoal, and he starts writing on this paper. This is the address of the farm. Here's how to get here from town. If you can take a look into this and deal with it, it would be greatly appreciated.
All right, sounds great. I'll just have to get somebody to verify this for me, and yeah.
Come back when you have dealt with it. If you could bring back proof of
a tiny head.
A tiny head, or even a collection of hands, just pick left or right so that we can identify how many of them have been killed. Sorry, in case there's
a rando at the door. I apologize.
So you two are continuing your conversation. The dwarf still thinks you're he's crazy for believing it, and thinks that you're both going to be duped somehow in this transaction. Jess, you leave the stage as Nyssa begins her dance, casting the spell that creates these two copies of her.
Whoa, you're selling yourself short. I get three duplicates.
Hot damn.
So for this one here, I actually want to play like a nice slow dancing tune if I can. So I'm not going to start robbing people until closer to the end of the night, because I want everyone to be happy and drunk, because then they're not observant. That's my big plan.
That's so smart.
You're not going to leave the stage until closer to the end of the night, because this is like the last performance, and absolutely. But Nyssa needs something to dance to.
Mm-hmm.
So. Unless she wants to perform and dance.
Ooh.
That would be tough.
Yeah, that might be tough.
Yeah. So basically, so what I'm kind of thinking is, we'll do a slow, big number like this, get everyone all super happy, and then Nyssa can do a happy, like upbeat kind of thing.
A happy dance.
Instruments by yourself while I go around and take a break. Quotes. Take a break. Does that work for you?
Nope, that works. So you guys continue working up the crowd for the evening.
Mm-hmm.
And towards the end of the evening, as you've been performing and Nilrim has been observing and keeping track of who's who and which of them have the fattest looking pockets. It's probably 1 o'clock in the morning at this point in the night.
That's the perfect time.
The bar is the tavern is full, but everybody, the smell of liquor is strong on the breaths of everybody in the room.
Excellent.
Nyssa, I would like a performance check from you as you dance.
18.
Do you want a performance check for me too for the song?
Oh, here's the question. Are you performing or are you robbing people during this performance?
Not during the dance. So she'll do the dance, because I still have to cast a spell on her and stuff like that. So during the dance, that would be the most obvious time to steal from people, but we'd need a third for that. So, because Nissa needs music. She can't just dance. I mean, you can, but it's way more impactful if you got something to dance to. So I think I'm going to have to perform this one. And then, like I said, Nissa will do a solo act that's a little bit more upbeat, a little bit more dance to get everyone else dancing. And then that's when I'll make my move.
So you guys set that performance in motion, and it is quite impactful, as Nissa is indeed a talented dancer. The crowd is enraptured as you scope out the targets that Nilrum had pointed out to you earlier in the evening. Mm-hmm. And picking out which ones are going to be the easiest. As Nissa transitions into her next act, I'd like you to roll me a sleight of hand. Okay. Twice.
Twice? Okay.
Yeah, like two separate checks.
16 for the first one. And 23, that's a crit for the second one.
Cool.
Damn.
All right. You move through the crowd and almost effortlessly pull this and that from pockets of a handful of people around you. You even manage to get somebody's bracelet off of their wrist without them noticing.
It's amazing when you can get off of people without them noticing.
You're not entirely sure what all you've grabbed from everybody, but you know your pockets are pretty full. You'll worry about that later.
That is a tomorrow problem.
And as the place clears out for the night, the barkeep kind of looks at you and goes, "No, we don't have any rooms up in here, but I mean, you're welcome to stay in the bar room if you want."
I take a quick glance down at his hand. Is he wearing a wedding ring?
He is not.
Excellent. I'm gonna start sweet talking. I'm going to try to persuade him to let me stay with him. Maybe give him a drink or two.
Roll me persuasion.
That is a 19, sir.
That is a 19.
Yep.
It doesn't take you very long to convince him that that is indeed something that is a good idea, and you know, maybe we could head to the head upstairs to his place for, you know, just a drink or two before bed.
Perfect. Operation Get Him Schmammered has begun.
What are the rest of you doing?
I will be helpfully pouring more booze into this gentleman's cup.
I don't think my wizard has too much pickpocketing skills, so I guess I'm just scouting, seeing if anyone's looking at us or keeping six, as they say.
I'm providing distractions whenever needed, like feats of strength, and I'll just lift the table up.
Never underestimate the power of a good table flip.
Alright, so Jessica, what are you? You're getting the barkeep smashed. Everybody's leaving the bar because it's closing time.
Yeah, I want to get him so drunk he'll just pass out, and then I can just basically hook him out of the bed and sleep there. That's the plan. She's not a nice person. She's got a silver tongue, so she sounds real nice, but she is definitely not a nice person. She uses people all the time.
And yet, she doesn't outright hurt them.
No, and she has a code. She won't hurt the people who are the most vulnerable, but if you're a little well off, you can afford to lose a ring or two.
So, The rest of you, I will assume, are going back to the boat or sleeping here on tables.
I think Nissa would sleep on a table.
I'm with the boats and hose situation.
Boat.
Right.
I will return promptly in the morning and make sure that both my people are fine.
And in the morning, Jess, you do indeed wake up to this grunting noise from the floor beside the bed as the barkeep wakes up. He goes, "Oh, my head." Kind of looks at you for a sec. Did we?
You were fantastic.
He kind of grins. He kind of grins to me in the air and then grabs his head again. I'm going to go grab a glass of water.
Yeah, I have to get back to my ship, but that was amazing. Thank you very much. You know, trying to be all persuasive and nice, and I don't want to leave him with a bad feeling.
Farewell. Farewell, fair maiden. I will never forget you.
I think when I get to the boat, I want to talk to the pimp. Maybe we should open our horizons and get some male prostitutes for other clientele that might be interested in that. So we have both?
I mean, where are you going to
capitalize on the market? Oh, yes, that's right. That was that situation. Never mind. My bad.
You're a little tight in sleeping quarters at the moment in your present boat.
Mm. Yeah, we'll wait till we loot lots and get treasure and shit and buy a...
How long are we here for? Like, they got shore leave, so I assume a week, at least, with shore leave and whatnot. They're going to need some time to party down.
And then sober up.
Mm-hmm. So if we're here for a week, we could pay for whatever horse rooms are costs for now, and then mm-hmm. take it out of their pay so they don't have to upfront the cost of the rooms. Because they'll have to stay at an inn if we don't want them on the ship. Right?
That's fair. We will work that into the equation.
Mm-hmm.
We'll come up with an equation.
If everyone is cool with that, of course.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Cool beans.
Cool
beans. Man, yes. It's better being a not so nice person than it is being good. Being good sucks.
I agree.
You know, most of my campaigns, I tell my parties they need to be good-ish. The end result must be better. If you have to commit war crimes to remove the tyrannical king, then so be it.
Well, we're not evil. We're a little unscrupulous, but we're not evil.
Yeah. We still have morals and codes.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, in the morning everybody wakes up, and when you return, when K2 returns to look for the other two, they are indeed perfectly fine.
If a bit hungover.
So you're here in the city, you've met back up at the Rugged Gopher.
Mm-hmm.
Jess has apparently slept with One-Eyed Ernie.
Nissa is draped over a cup of coffee.
Prestidigitation, make you look a little better.
Using it as a hot tub, just have a cup of coffee and just soaking.
Yep.
Of
Jesus.
Has the coffee cooled down at all, or is it still pretty hot?
It's probably still pretty hot.
Okay, good. Because I think prestidigitation can heat coffee too.
Really?
I think so. It has a lot of really, like, near useless, but in real life actually useful uses.
That's really cool.
Yeah. And it's got a lot of them.
Yeah, like mechanically it doesn't do anything, but it has so many quality of life things. It's insane.
So you guys have a lunchtime meeting with Auntie Willow.
Right.
Oh, right, I forgot about that.
And then after that, we can destroy the town.
About the tiny ogres?
Mm-hmm. 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 Akechu relays the information about the tiny ogres.
Tiny ogres? Wouldn't they be goblins?
They sound
That's
fun.
That's what I said.
Could just be little people, but in their race.
I guess. Oh, I've never seen a tiny ogre before. Never seen a big ogre before. I'll go on my way to find ogres.
All ogres are pretty big to me.
Leave that. So with the tiny ogres, what's the deal with that? Like, they're just there? Is that what it is?
They wrecked the farm, stole some things. If we can take care of it, rich elf will pay us.
How much?
Should have questioned that.
Don't worry. We can work that out. We can work that out after the fact, I guess. Do you know which elf? Which rich elf?
Just say that six times fast.
I give him the paper that I was given.
Okay,
it does on the paper. It has a map, the location, the name of the farmer, and it does have the name of the elf written on the bottom.
Okay, so we have two options. We can either discuss this with the farmer, or we can discuss it with the elf, as far as payment is concerned. It's probably better to do so before we do anything about it, because if we solve the problem, there's no incentive for them to pay us. What do you all think?
I think we should take it easy this morning, have lunch, and then go check out the little trolls.
All right. Yes, kicks up her feet, leans back a little bit.
Wake and bake.
No, thank you, but it's appreciated.
Well, Milram's already waking and baking.
That was a good night. She's gonna bring out a little sack. Let's see what Christmas has brought us today.
Yeah.
Start meandering through the pickings. Not on the table, obviously. Just looking in the sack, just sort of rifling through, just to see what she managed to pickpocket.
2 gold.
It goes right into the gold purses.
14 silver.
Okay.
And only 3 copper. As well as a copper bracelet that's probably worth 15 gold.
Alright. And that's what I got?
Roll me a D100.
Oh, D100. Ooh.
I like those. Whoa.
One more percentile. Oh, D100. There we go. Roll. 30. That was terrible.
Maybe not.
You said 2 gold, 10 silver?
14 silver.
14 silver.
And as you reach into one last... as you sift through it at the very bottom, you find a blue-tinted gold piece.
Ooh. Interesting.
That's like the blue gold that we got, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Nissa's extremely interested in this. She, like, wakes up and leans over her cup of coffee and she goes, Who did you steal that from?
I don't know. I'm not exactly certain who we got this from, but we're not going to keep it. It's too hot. It's too valuable. They'll come back for it. The rest of this stuff, they probably will just assume they've lost. It's not that big of a deal, but this thing is, I don't even know how much this is worth. So she just flicks it into the room somewhere, just on the floor.
Can Nissa very sneakily go and pick it up again?
Yeah, you totally, if you want to do that. Then. and then I'll put down the bracelet, and be like, this bracelet I think is worth around 15 gold. You guys can have that and split it up for yourselves.
Somebody stuffs that in a bag.
Yeah, I took all the coins and stuff, so. Except for the blue coin. That's you don't go for the diamonds. Because they're too valuable. People will look for those. You go for the smaller stuff. The coins. Nobody notices coins.
Nissa has none of those smarts. She is just a see, want, take little fairy. Yeah. And the blue gold is very intriguing to her. So she's going to double back at some point and try and pluck that coin off the floor very sneakily.
Go for it.
Right, so you manage to pick that piece of gold up quietly and before everybody gets up to leave for lunch. You're heading out beyond, or are you heading out to lunch at Auntie Willow's, or are you going to go look at this farm thing? What do you want to do?
We'll go for lunch first. We've got time.
Food first, fishing later.
Yeah, we got time.
I mean, as far as you know, the tiny ogres aren't going anywhere, and if they do, well, problem solved.
That, and we haven't officially agreed to solve their problem yet. We don't know how much we're getting paid yet. So until we hammer out those details, I ain't gonna do shit. If that makes sense.
No, it makes total sense.
Okay.
So as you guys head out towards Auntie Willow's hut, you're moving through the forest, and you come to a point where, as you're walking along the trail, there's almost like a, like staring through a bubble to the other side. Like it's just kind of oily and off.
That's a spell. I don't need to detect magic to know that's magic.
Yep.
I say I don't need to detect magic to know that's magic. I don't have detect magic, so there's nothing I can do about it. Empty jump.
Where is it?
It seems to extend like around. It looks like it kind of curves potentially a circular wall of this domed bubble.
Is it in our path?
Yes, it is in the direction of your where you were told to go.
Maybe some kind of alarm?
I walk straight through.
Something as he walks through to keep people. Alright.
those of you who stay are on the other side, you watch him kind of blip through, and you can see him on the other side. He's, you know, a little murky. But K2, as you walk through, you see before you what you didn't see before is this large kind of ramshackle house that looks like it's had addition after addition after addition slapped onto it over the years. And there are...
Is this like the Weasley House?
Kind of. You found the Weasley House. and there are children, boys and girls, ranging from as young as, you know, like crawling on the ground to young adults. And there's a fire pit going out front with this large boar going over it. One of the boys is churning it.
and
everybody... I go straight for the food.
So we see him, I guess, immediately start moving towards something.
Yeah, he moves. He's moving away from you towards you don't know what.
Wait for me! Nissa goes flying after her giant, awesome best friend.
I'll follow. I go where the meat shield goes.
Yeah.
As you guys meander through after him, you see that he is indeed heading straight for the food.
Ah, it's an illusion. Okay, that makes sense.
Nissa claps her hands excitedly. Oh, good trick, good trick.
As you head on in, the Auntie Willow comes out of the house. Oh, it's good to see all of you. I see you've started meeting some of my children. As you kind of look around at the children, these children, I don't know how to say this without coming across bad.
Did we just come across Xavier's school for gifted youngsters?
Roll me investigation.
Crit, 22. I'm so gonna die if we get into combat today.
As you kind of been looking around, you notice that a lot of the girls seem to be practicing magic to do their chores, where the boys, when they, like, you notice one of the boys pick up an entire sheep and just carry it over so that it could be sheared.
Nissa is delighted, and she starts flitting around to all the kids and, you know, asking their names and, yep, literally going up to each one. Hey, who are you? I'm Nissa. That's a cool trick. Just stuff like that.
So I'm gonna go up to K2 and Milrim and be like, can either of you do that? Just one arm a sheep? Huh. Alright, this ain't right.
And this is gonna show off some of her magic stones yet too, like as thanks for the kids showing her their tricks, she'll show them like how she can enchant little pebbles and make them go boom.
The kids discover that this adds an extra couple skips when you skip a rock with it.
Nice.
And I have new best friends. I just gave kids explodey little rocks. Whoops.
Well, it doesn't make them explode, it makes them hit harder, so that's therefore true. When you throw them, that means that they're picking up more speed. So if you enchanted a rock that was good for skipping and were good at skipping stones, it would skip further. So, you know, they're skipping rocks halfway across the lake right now because you're just enchanting the rocks that they're finding.
Yeah, she's having a great time.
As Auntie Willow kind of... All right, children, time for lunch. She claps her hands and out of the house walks the table fully set with all the food on it, bringing itself out into the clearing in front of the house. The kids come running up from the stream. They all take a seat at the table. One of the older boys takes the small boar off of the fire and begins carving it. We are here to thank our good friends who saved me from those vile bandits. These are all of my nieces and nephews. And looking around the table, you see what look like any young elves, dwarves, humans that look nothing alike. It is a hodgepodge of children that if they are related, you'll eat your hat.
That was actually going to be my next question, was what do they look like?
Hiya.
But they're all, like, they're all young people.
But they're all well-fed and... like, seem to be doing okay?
Oh yeah, everybody seems to be reasonably happy here. Like, everybody's having a good time. They're doing some chores, but otherwise things seem to be pretty good out here.
Awesome. Nyssa has zero worries about this whatsoever.
I'm going to ask the old lady how she became the matron of all these lovely children.
Kind of leans in and goes, well, these children are all orphans that were brought to me. You know, many years ago I took in Alfonso over there, and then the town dropped off Matilda, then Tildy, then Jacob and Marco, and eventually I just stopped fighting it, and just, these are all my nieces and nephews, and I love them all dearly.
The town just dropped them off?
Sometimes when people have children, they feel they're not ready for the responsibility. I guess. I don't know. I wake up and there's a baby on my doorstep.
Well, you're a truly noble woman and these people are crap.
I like to think that I give these children a better life than they would have found in the city anyways. Out here in the woods, much better.
I sort of lean over to Nyssa and be like, I'm glad we robbed them.
I'm actually going to lean over and just say, we're robbing them again.
Well, the people in town are... they're an interesting lot, but... not nearly as nasty as some of our other neighbors out here.
Oh, really? Who are the other neighbors?
Oh.
Tiny ogres?
She kind of blinks and goes, I've never heard of them described as such. But those could potentially be the children of Vagma. She is the hag who lives just over the hills to the north of here. She and her three husbands live over the hills at the bottom of the basin. Beautiful forest country if she wasn't living there.
Her children?
She has... three husbands that are enormously big men. Smart like dirt, but big men. Their children, most of them wander the countryside and hunt with their fathers.
Would you say they gather bits and pieces of treasure every now and then?
Well, you wouldn't be the first person to wander through there. You'd be the first one in a long time to come out.
Ooh, that sounds like a challenge.
Sounds like they're hiding something of value.
Well, actually... now that you mention it, there was something that I lost a long time ago to one of those little monsters. It was a mirror that was given to me by my sister when we were much younger. Just a plain bronze mirror, polished on the one side with some seashell designs on the outside. If you could bring that back to me, that would be very, very important. To me, at least.
added to the list.
Thank you. And, if you're going to find anything strange or valuable, at least the best place to start would be Vagma's hut. Although I warn you, you may not like what you find in there. That is not good dinner time conversation. Let us finish dinner, and then we will discuss this more. It's good to be happy, isn't it, children?
Yeah. Nissa will happily eat and join the fun.
And the food is delicious, and you're right, you guys being there doesn't really seem to be changing their dinner habits all that much. As then, you know, and they get up, they Auntie Willow kind of claps her hands and the table starts marching itself back inside the house. Thank you, friends. Now, why don't you come inside and we'll have a seat. Children, go run and play. One of the little ones comes, I want to come inside. She goes, run and play. You guys come inside and sit down in the kitchen. She kind of eases herself slowly into a chair. And, these knees aren't what they used to be. No, as I was saying, my large friend, the best place to start looking for interesting treasure would be Vagma's hut. Although to get there, you'll have to go through her husband's territory, and those men are very violent. And when I said most of her children end up wandering the countryside with their fathers, that's because most of her children are boys.
What about the girls?
She kind of, you know, the normal smiling old lady that you're used to seeing is kind of stone faced. She looks at you and goes, she eats them.
Oh dear.
She kind of gives a shudder and goes, we tend to keep to ourselves out here, but that is no way to treat your children. If you can bring an end to her, it would make this region safer, that is for certain, and they've been set up there for several years, and well, there used to be traders that cut through that valley. They stopped about 5 years ago. I'm sure a few of them tried still.
Would you say it would be valuable to the people of the town for that to happen?
Probably. The trade would be able to open up through the hills again.
Nissa turns around. We have to look into this. Think of the children!
Yes, the children. I lean into just, and the money. You want the money.
It is true.
If it's too hot, we'll step back, obviously.
K2, I'd like you to make me an intelligence check.
That's a good thing. That was a good roll. But with a negative, it's still a 17.
You remember seeing a toll booth on a road once before, and this is a merchant route. A toll merchant route. You have the brainwave to
set up a toll booth. How feasible is it? Who knows?
Then we could charge everybody for going down the road that we safely procured.
That's brilliant.
Absolutely nothing stopping you. So are you guys going to... Are you guys going to head out in that direction immediately? I'm just looking at the time. It's 10:15. How late can folks go?
Well, we do still have to negotiate the tiny troll pay.
Is the tiny troll issue in the same direction?
I have till 10:30, just to throw it out there.
Okay.
All right, so I think that'll give us some time to put together a pretty good idea of where we're going.
I'd like to gather all the quests in the town before we venture out. You know, MMO style.
Yes, I concur.
So, we should probably discuss the pay for the tiny trolls, because while we're out of town, we may as well solve both problems if we're capable of doing so.
That's smart.
And if we're lucky, it's all just one big problem with separate people, so we get paid by everybody.
Nothing like double dipping.
I managed that in my very first campaign with Caleb.
Really? Solved one problem, got paid twice for it?
Yep.
Which time was that? You guys did that more than once.
Yeah, we did. I was thinking about the first time where we found those merchant brothers. Barry and Terry.
So, you guys heading back into town, you... with the name of your potential employer, you managed to track down the manor house of Leland, the elf. A wealthy landowner by the looks of his large estate house that he's got here in town.
Excellent.
As you come in and you show the butler, like, look, we've got this piece of paper, it's got his name on it, we've just got a few questions we wanted to hammer out. It brings you into the lobby, and as you guys sit on the very comfortable plush benches, the room is decorated with a couple different vases cut out of different ones, cut glass. Another one looks like it's some sort of large emerald that's been cored out, with a couple flowers sticking out of it, and there's all these different vases lining the wall. As you guys are waiting a few minutes before your benefactor will arrive. When they do arrive, the door opens and they come on in.
Ah, friends. My butler informed me you had some questions about dealing with these tiny ogres that were plaguing my farm.
Yes, yes. My associate didn't hammer out all of the details. We're just wondering about hay.
Of course.
Yes.
That's silly of me. I apologize. We were indeed having a few drinks last night.
Indeed.
He thinks, how about I will pay you... He pauses and thinks. Well, according to my farmer, he said that there were at least a dozen of these, so... I'll give you 10 gold for each head that you can bring me.
Okay, I'm gonna try persuasion on this, if that's cool with you, Caleb. And I'm gonna start with 25 per.
Only persuasion.
Okay. That is a 16.
He kind of frowns a little bit and goes 12.
Alright, I'll bring it down to 22. Another persuasion.
Sure.
Okay. Another 16. Holy shit, 2 12s in a row.
He kind of looks at you again. 16.
All right, I'm gonna do the old, oh, you're busting my balls, but 17 seems to be about the number that I'd like. So, another persuasion.
Sure.
Okay. Oh, a 20.
I was gonna say you have to beat an 8.
I can't fail on an 8. The lowest I can roll is a 14.
He says. Very well, it is a great 17 per head.
Excellent.
But you must root out their nest as well in the process.
Rooting out the nest as well. I'm thinking probably a flat rate of 20 gold for rooting out the nest. With proof, of course, that we have in fact rooted out the nest.
He says, very well, I can agree to that.
Excellent. 17 per head and 20 gold for proof of the nest root out. We'll see you shortly.
Do be careful.
Always. I look at my meat shield. That's what he's for.
The elf is mildly intimidated by you, K2, despite you not doing anything to be intimidating.
I make a big toothy grin and nod.
Excellent. So, we can leave that. So, it looks like we might have some combat next session.
Yep.
Alright, then that just leaves us. What do we do first? Do we go help this old lady, or do we go root out some tiny ogres?
Geographically, which one's closer? Could be.
You said geographically what now?
Geographically, which one's closer?
I have no idea. That's a Caleb question.
What's a Caleb question?
Geographically, which one's closer?
The farm is closer, but in the same direction.
All right. Tiny ogres first it is.